Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You questioning?
I'll stand by my statement, Your Honor.
All right.
I just wanted to put it on the record. I don't want to argue about it.
All right. The record's been made. I also put a little bit of additional information regarding Detective Kuhn's testimony into my minute entry yesterday that is probably posted or will be posted today to supplement the record. So I guess to the extent you're making some sort of, well, your objection's noted, I guess.
Thank you.
Jury right here. All right, let's bring in the jury. Oh, wait. Wait, do you have whatever?
I believe.
They're all in order.
And then.
Continue her cross examination of this witness.
Detective Kuhns, I know we didn't really establish yesterday. I know that you're retired. Is that okay if I call you Detective Kuhns, or would you prefer something else?
Detective is fine.
Okay, thank you. Detective Kuhns, yesterday you testified that no stippling was found as a result of the shot on my husband's chest. Is that correct?
To my knowledge, none was found.
Okay. So would it surprise you if the medical examiner expressed in his defense interview that there was stippling found in that shot?
Would it surprise me that he had found it? Not necessarily based on the information.
Okay. Would it surprise you if the medical examiner expressed that the shooter would have had to be 2 to 4 feet away for that stippling to be present?
And this is from your interview or from the report?
From the interview.
Okay. No, that actually would still be consistent with my observations at the scene.
Okay, great. If someone very muscular like my husband were 2 to 4 feet away from you holding up a bat, would you consider that a threat?
Can I object to speculation, relevance?
Your Honor, I'm asking for his opinion as a professional and as a firearms expert.
He's not, okay.
That goes to the ultimate decision.
The objection is sustained and it calls for a legal conclusion.
It calls for a legal conclusion?
Yes, move on.
Were you present, Detective, when my husband was shot?
No, ma'am.
Is there a video recording of it?
To my knowledge, no.
So is your opinion then an educated guess about what really happened?
It's based on known facts.
Okay. Were you aware, Detective, that my husband and my brother were very good friends?
No, ma'am, I didn't know their relationship.
Did you know that they hung out and played golf together?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Your Honor, I'm going somewhere with this.
Oh, I guess.
My follow-up question will explain.
I guess you can answer if you knew that they played golf.
I did not know.
In all of your investigation of my life, you never came across this information?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Are you familiar with my husband's wishes for his funeral?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Did you learn in your investigation that he named my brother Alex as one of his five best friends?
And I'm going to object again to relevance.
Sustained.
Did you read the reports in this case?
I did not read all of the reports in this case. No, I've read mine and I've authored mine, but I have not read the other reports.
None of the other reports except for your own?
That's correct.
Okay. Detective, are you familiar with the follow-up report you wrote dated July 29th, 2019?
You're going to have to be a little bit more specific.
Did you review your reports in preparation for your testimony here today?
Yes, but I have not memorized the dates of when I made a report entry.
Okay. Would you like to see it to refresh your recollection?
That would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Does that look like a true and correct copy of your report, Detective?
I believe it is.
And those Bates pages run from what to what, please?
They're obscured in the footnotes of it, but it looks like it's 126 through 131.
Okay. And on the last page of your report, on Bates page 131, you explain what a shored wound is.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you read that underlying portion?
I would object to hearsay to reading it.
Sustained. You can ask him to explain what a shored wound is.
Okay. Can you explain to us what the shored wound is that you explained in your report?
Yes. A shored wound would be a wound created as an exit wound where the projectile is exiting the body and the body is either up against a firm surface or firm material, like spandex type thing. That's how it's been explained to me.
Okay. That's fair. You said held in place by tight clothing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you, in fact, and it says in your report, did you, in fact, collect my husband's clothing?
Yes.
Okay. And you took the clothing, it says, to the property storage facility. Is that correct?
Yes, it went to a drying cage.
Okay. Detective, are you familiar with bamboo clothing?
I can't say that I am.
Okay. Were you aware that on July 29th, 2019, my husband was wearing a $200 bamboo workout shirt?
Objection, relevance.
He can answer if he knows.
I have no idea what the cost is.
Are you aware that bamboo is a heavy-duty fabric not to rip or tear except under extreme conditions?
I've not done any research into bamboo fabric.
Okay. So could this fabric of his shirt have caused the wound to be short?
It could have been a contributor, but it would not have been in this particular case.
Why so?
The body would have been on the floor where the bullet defect was in the floor.
So you just said in your report earlier that a short wound could be caused by tight clothing. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you're saying that could not have happened in this case?
The shirt did not appear to be tight clothing to me.
Well, it was made of bamboo, as we established, right? Is that correct?
I am taking your word for it. I do not know that it's a bamboo shirt.
Okay. And you did not investigate that at all?
No, ma'am.
But you had the shirt in your possession?
It was seized as evidence, yes.
And you never checked what kind of fabric it was?
No, ma'am.
And you never checked if that could be a possibility?
No, ma'am.
And you knew that spandex was kind of a material that could make that kind of short mark that you just mentioned, correct?
It would have to be super tight clothing.
Super tight clothing?
Yes.
Or a fabric that's even stronger than the spandex that you mentioned?
The strength of the fabric, I don't believe, has a huge play in it unless it is form-fitting and compressing the skin, much like a hard surface or firm surface would.
Okay. But what you said in your report was that held in place by tight clothing could cause a short wound.
As has been explained to me, yes.
Okay. Detective, in your report, you mention so it is possible that his shirt could have caused the wound and not the fall.
I'm going to object to asked and answered.
I'll let him answer.
I don't know if it's possible or not for that particular shirt to have caused a short wound.
Because you did not do any investigation about the shirt.
Because the shirt did not appear to be form-fitting and very tight.
Did it cover over the shoulder where the wound kit was?
It was a full t-shirt at the time.
That's what I'm saying. So was the t-shirt, where the wound was on his back, where the bullet exited, was his shirt covering that part of his body?
Certainly.
Okay. Was there a hole in the shirt at that location?
Yes, ma'am.
How big was the hole?
The size of the bullet.
So small.
Small. Fabric stretches and contracts, so it was a bullet size.
Okay. So when you had this shirt and you saw the bullet hole, it was after the shirt had been cut off by the firefighters. Is that correct?
It hadn't been cut off. It had been cut down the middle, down the front.
So just the front was cut. So the back was intact?
Minus the defects that we have seen from the bullet and exits, yes.
Okay. So you were able to measure that. Do you have a measurement for those bullet holes in the shirt?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So it is possible that his shirt could have caused the wound, the short wound.
Checked again that we've asked and answered this three times now.
Okay, so is it possible that any shirt could have caused a short wound in any kind of...
And I'm going to object to foundation as to any overly broad...
As an expert...
Let me rule on the objection.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. I'll sustain the objection.
As an expert, and in your professional opinion, could that fabric of his shirt that he was wearing that day caused a short wound?
Again, I'm going to object to asked and answered multiple times.
Sustain.
In the last paragraph of your report, Detective, you indicate that you were able to confirm your suspicion of the body position at the scene. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did you mean by suspicion?
Well, at the time, I couldn't see through his body to see the full trajectories, so I did need the information from the autopsy. The trajectory rods helped with that, as well as the doctor's statements. All of that combined did give me the two different bullet paths.
Okay. And then can you tell me, Detective, what happened to my husband's shirt? Do you know where it is now?
It is in evidence, as far as I'm aware.
And it's, when you looked at it, where was it?
The last I physically saw that shirt was when I handed it off to a crime scene tech to put into a drying cage with the instructions, once it was dry, to have it moved into the property facility.
And so did you see it after it was in the property facility?
No, ma'am, I have not.
So you saw it before it was dried, is that correct?
While it was wet from the medical examiner's office, yes.
And that's when you examined it?
I had seen it at the scene as well.
And then, did you ever examine it?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so you saw it twice.
That's fair.
Okay. So you didn't test it for anything?
I did not.
Did anyone test it for anything?
I do not know.
That you're aware of?
I do not know.
So you're not aware of it?
Correct. I do not know if anybody else tested it.
Okay. Was the wood floor tested for any fragments of the projectile?
It was actually seized, so it was not tested.
And what does seized mean?
We cut it out of the floor and kept it.
Right. And then was it tested after it was seized?
No, ma'am.
So the wood floor plank that was taken from my residence was never tested for any fragments of the projectile?
The projectile was intact, minus a deformity to it.
Okay. But there wasn't any reason? Are you saying there was no reason to test it?
There had been no implication or indication that there was a request for it to be tested.
And you wouldn't do that to see if the projectile actually hit the floor?
No, ma'am. All the other circumstances and information that led up to that decision to seize the floor, everything appeared that it was going to be related to the actual bullet that passed through your husband's body and struck the floor.
Wouldn't testing the floor actually be the easiest way to be sure that the bullet hit the floor?
Not necessarily would it leave anything behind. Like I said, the bullet was a full metal jacket. It was still intact. Mm-hmm. There had been a significant amount of blood that had pooled in it. I do not know if there would be residue left behind in it for testing.
Fair. Okay. Was the projectile tested for any marks from the floor?
No, ma'am.
Were you aware that this was a rental house that we lived in?
I believe I'd heard that.
Okay. Were you aware that we had only lived there for about 3 weeks prior to this incident?
I knew it was a short time period, but I did not know the actual duration.
Did you know that? You know that by the time you wrote this report, right?
I don't recall knowing the exact time frame that you had lived there.
Okay. So the defect in the floor of the rental house that we lived in could have already been there before this incident. Is that correct?
Not in my opinion, no.
But it could have.
An objection, Your Honor, asked and answered.
Sustained.
So of all the divots that we saw yesterday in the pictures on the floor, it could not have been there beforehand?
And again, asked and answered.
I'll let him answer. Go ahead.
The divots I believe you're referring to were extremely smaller than the actual defect, which was still relatively fresh and not sealed like the other divots were.
Okay. Can we see? These were previously published, so we can use them, right?
Yeah.
Can we look at this?
Just refer to the exhibit number, please.
Okay. Just put it on.
Okay.
Detective, can you see that? I can't see that very well. I'm there. So, in Exhibit 57, Detective.
I'm looking.
This, where my pen is pointing?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the defect that you're referring to where the bullet struck. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And this, these defects, were already previously at the residence. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And do they look that much significantly different than that to you?
Yes, they do.
What do you think the measurement difference in that and that is, in your professional opinion?
There is no scale in this photograph. It would be difficult for me to give you an estimate.
So in your estimation, this defect is much larger than this defect. Is that correct?
The second defect you're pointing to appears to be wood grain indentations. The other is an actual defect in the board.
Okay. Thank you. But this defect, this piece of wood that was cut out, was not tested. Is that correct?
Again, asked and answered.
Technically correct, but I'll let him answer.
Correct. To my knowledge, it was not tested.
Thank you. So do you know, Detective, for a fact, that the defect on my wood floor was caused by the second bullet?
And again, I'm going to object to asked and answered.
Sustained.
When we looked at the projectiles yesterday, the one from the baseboard clearly had white paint on it from the baseboard. Is that correct?
Baseboard or the drywall, perhaps.
Okay, but we all saw the white paint. Is that correct?
There was a white marking on it.
Was that tested for the white paint?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
There was no decision made to have it tested.
Because it was logical that it was in the baseboard where the baseboard was painted white, right?
It was very clear that it had passed through your husband and lodged in the baseboard. And upon recovery, there was no deformation to it, indicating that it was a straight-on impact or relatively close so that it embedded itself into the baseboard.
Correct. So it wasn't tested because it really didn't need to be, in your opinion.
Correct.
Okay. That's fair. Next, we looked at the projectile that, according to you, made the defect in my wood floor. Is that correct?
I don't understand your question. Next, we look at it, but I don't see anything.
Oh, we saw the projectile. Can I find out what exhibit that was?
Your paralegal has all those photographs.
Can we use the actual exhibit?
She can approach and... Okay. And are you looking for the actual projectile?
Yes.
I believe it's a smaller. Do you want her to hand that to the witness?
Is that 239? Okay. Detective, for the record, you're looking at Exhibit 239, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And is that the projectile that we are talking about that you claimed made the divot in my wood floor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So was that projectile was not tested, is that correct?
Yes. Your Honor,
is that what
I'm
you
going
said?
To object to asked and answered at least three times.
Sustained.
Does that projectile look pristine to you?
No, ma'am. As I've previously testified, it is slightly deformed.
What side is it deformed on? What part about it is deformed?
The back end, the heel area, is compressed a little bit, so that it's now oval as opposed to circular.
And that would indicate what?
That would indicate that as the bullet struck something firm on its side, it compressed, and then it continued on moving.
Okay. So that's what you mean by a shored wound. It hit up against something. Is that correct?
The terminology as it's been described to me is it's the skin is against a firm surface. So in this particular case, the floor would be the firm surface. So as it's entering or exiting your husband and starting to try to enter the floor is forcing the bullet to kind of ricochet, but the body's still keeping it in place. So it's now deforming a little bit and it's still expending its energy to escape from underneath the body.
Okay. And if my husband was in fact laying on the floor, how did he get out from under his body? Wouldn't it have gotten stuck under? That's my question. Just
what?
Could you explain that to me?
I think I just did. So the bullet is a full metal jacket. It still has its energy. Until it starts striking things to cause resistance to it to slow it down, it's going to expend its energy at a normal rate. I think I just lost the mic. I'm not sure.
No, it's on.
Okay. When it starts striking firm objects, then it'll start bleeding the energy away. And in this particular case, as it's exiting your husband's body, it's impacting bone, it's impacting the flesh that's compressed against the floor, and it's impacting the floor now. So there is going to be a lot of resistance against that. Now, where it exited, it's still not free to just fly like the one that went through his chest and out the back. It's still semi-trapped between your husband's body and the floor, so that's going to cause even more energy drain until it comes to rest.
And how far away from my husband's shoulder was that bullet fragment found? The projectile, I guess.
When it was found, I don't know the exact measurement away from it. I would say a foot or more, maybe.
Okay. So that's what you're talking about the energy. It still had energy to keep moving. Is
yes.
that correct?
It had enough to escape from being under the body.
Okay. So because of what you saw at the scene, and you state in your report that it was your suspicion that that's what had happened, was that my husband was supine on the floor. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So was it your suspicion from the start of this investigation that led you to not confirm any other alternative?
What other alternative, ma'am? My job was to collect the information and put it together with the information that was being collected in the interviews. The information from the interviews did not completely match everything that I had learned at the scene.
Okay. Let's see. You did not test the wood floor, is that correct?
I'm going to object again to asked and answered multiple times.
Sustained.
You did not test the projectile, is that correct?
I'm going to again object to asked and answered multiple times, and I'm going to move to start striking every question.
Sustained.
You did not investigate my husband's shirt.
And object again to asked and answered multiple times.
Sustained.
Did you call Aloha Carolina and ask them about the fabric of my husband's shirt?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that you made an assumption early on and only investigated the things that supported that assumption?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Remember in your report where you stated that the bullet strike to the abdomen had an upward trajectory, passing through the left lung before exiting near the left shoulder?
Yes.
Okay. Could that upward trajectory have been caused by my husband falling backwards and the bullet hitting the abdomen and going upwards and exiting his shoulder as he hit the floor?
No, not in my opinion.
Okay. Detective Kunz, on July 11th, 2019, were you at the Chandler Police Department during my interview?
No, ma'am.
Were you there that morning when we were brought into the Chandler Police Department at all?
No, ma'am. I was at the scene.
Okay. I thought you didn't get to the scene until 11:45.
No, that was when we actually obtained the search warrant. It was about a little after 11:45. I was already at the scene shortly after 9 o'clock.
Okay. Did you see the injury on the back of Alex's head with your own eyes?
I did not take a close look at it. I saw the paper towel that he was holding against his head.
But you did not see the wound itself?
No.
Okay. Are you aware if Alex's hands were swabbed for gunshot residue?
There would have been no reason to swab for gunshot residue.
Why is that?
He had already stated that he was the shooter.
He had stated it?
To my knowledge, that's how the information was provided to me.
Okay. Are you aware if my hands were swabbed for gunshot residue?
I am not.
Okay. Are you aware if my daughter's hands were swabbed for gunshot residue?
I am not.
Do you know for a fact that Alex shot the gun in question?
Based on the information provided, that is what I have, yes.
Do you know that for a fact?
Just with the information that's been provided. I can't tell you one way or another if there's another shooter because the evidence does not show that there was.
Okay. So all you really know for sure, after your 5 years of investigation, is that my husband was shot 2 times, one by that particular gun, 2 with those particular bullets, at my residence, and that he passed away as a result of that. Would that be correct?
Oversimplified, there is a lot more information that is available to us for that.
Is that question correct?
Those are some known facts, yes, but that is not all we know.
So you can't really tell me for sure who shot him, can you?
Well, as we've established, I was not present when it happened. I can only go with the facts of what people have said and what the evidence shows.
Okay. You don't really know what time he was shot, do you?
Actually, no, I don't.
Okay. You don't really know if he was falling back or lying supine on the floor, do you?
Yes, I do.
You don't really know what time my husband actually passed away, do you?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Thank you. No more questions.
All right, redirect.
Your Honor, I still have stuff that she gave.
You can pass those to... let's have your paralegal get the report that you gave him, but I'll take Exhibit 239, is it?
Yes.
All right, Detective, I know we started yesterday, so I'm going to kind of go back through a few different areas, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
In terms of just understanding your role working with crime scene techs, you had testified yesterday that they are often the ones who actually pick up the item of evidence and put it in a bag, correct?
Frequently, yes.
Are you there observing them as they do that?
Yes.
You're not just wandering around outside drinking a coffee while they're processing the house?
No, ma'am.
So you, every item that we've brought in is something that you observed, you were there as they were documented and collected?
Correct.
And some of them, like the gun, you actually had to make safe before it could be collected?
Actually, Detective Duncan is the one that made it safe, but I was present for those things.
Okay. You were asked about the backyard being searched. When you have other people searching the house, and I think you'd said it was a collaborative event, if someone observes something, do they bring it to your attention as the scene agent?
Yes. If I'm asking somebody to do a search for me to help out with a larger area, it is their responsibility to bring it forward to me if they discover something that they think is important.
And if they see something, you would then go out and observe it yourself?
Yes.
Okay. We had talked about the gun yesterday and the ejection port. See if this will be visible here. What do we see right here?
So that is the ejection port.
So when we're talking about how this, how a semi-automatic gun works, and you were talking about the ejection to the right, is that in this gun indicated by the opening where that ejection port is, the side that it's on of the gun?
The opening is part of how it'll indicate where it ejects. Also, the extractor, which is a small lever behind the ejection port, is what grabs the casing to pull it out. And internally, there's going to be an ejector that it's usually a small pinpoint that kicks it, and the springs basically flip it out.
So all of that was what made you understand which way the casings would have ejected out of this gun?
Yes.
Now, you told us that that every gun can be slightly different if it's more upward, more outward, and you are unaware for this gun what that ejection would be like.
Correct.
I'm going to go back to your diagram. This is Exhibit 5. Are you able to, by looking at the measurements that you took, give us an estimate of the distance between those two casings that you have listed here as 9 and 10?
My estimation would be a couple feet.
And I guess, would your measurements, did you take measurements of where those were?
I took measurements from the reference points to triangulate it, but I did not measure distance between each object to the other objects.
So the measurements that we see, I'm going to take it out of here, on the second page of your report, are those triangulations that you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So are we able to extrapolate from this any distance between those two, or we are left with what you recall at this point?
You're left with what I recall, but I also, on my diagram, I put a reference line or dimension line. It's near the north-south indicator, and that helps somebody who's looking at it get an idea of what a measurement might be in the diagram.
Okay. And is that this line up here?
Correct.
Okay. So There was a lot of questions about where the shooter might have been at the time when this shooting occurred. Start with 19 while I look for a different perspective, but in this house, you have talked about a rounded wall. Can you tell us where you're talking about for that? And you know, I'm gonna put up 14. So on 14, what is this rounded wall that you're talking about when you're referring to the location or potential location, let me say the general location of the shooter?
So the rounded wall is at the south end of the main room that we're in, where the body's at. And it's also directly across from the hallway that runs to the three bedrooms and the hall bathroom.
So is that this wall that we see in Exhibit 14 right here?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, when we are talking about a gun being fired and casings ejecting, as someone who has fired guns before, have you fired them on where the casings are landing on a hard surface?
Yes.
Do casings bounce and roll?
They do.
So is the location of these casings, do they tell us exactly where they initially landed when they ejected?
No.
This is just where they ended up or stopped?
It's where we found them.
They could have been kicked at some point as well?
Yes.
Okay. When you are looking at this scene, are you relying upon these physical items of evidence to reach your opinion?
They would be some of it, yes.
And then are you relying on your training and experience in conjunction with observing the physical evidence as well as the injuries to Charles?
That would also be good pieces of the puzzle.
And are you able to give us the exact location of this shooter?
No, ma'am.
Are you giving us a general area of the shooter?
Yes, ma'am.
And for the shot that goes through Charles's chest and out his back, where is the general area that you are saying the shooter was located?
The shooter would have been located somewhere in the opening to where the kitchen and the hallway is, in close proximity to the rounded corner as well.
Okay. I put up Exhibit 16 here. So somewhere in this area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, you were asked a lot about the autopsy report and stippling. You were provided with a copy of it by the defendant, correct?
It was never provided to me.
You weren't allowed to look at a copy of it?
The report that she gave me was my report from the Channel Report System, not the medical examiner.
Have you ever looked at the autopsy report?
I have.
Did you, in regards to the injury to Charles's chest, the entrance wound, ever see the word stippling used there?
No, that was not in the report.
When you were reading that, did you interpret the way that Dr. Bumgardner wrote that to mean abrasions related to the actual entrance wound of the gunshot?
That's how I interpreted it.
Does that mean that Dr. Bumgardner didn't mean stippling?
I don't know medical jargon so well, so he could have very well meant it with how he wrote it, but to me it did not come across that way.
Okay. And when you were at the autopsy, you don't recall him ever telling you about the stippling?
Not in that word, no.
Okay. But you were there at the autopsy, correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Are you in the room with him, like right there next to him?
No, we are actually mandated to stay in the, I guess it's the viewing area of that particular location.
There's a window between you and he's in a different room?
Yes.
So you also were asked about Dr. Bumgardner saying in a defense interview that because of this, what you've now been told is stippling around that gunshot wound to the chest, that the shooter or the gun being used could have been 2 to 4 or so feet away. Do you recall being told that?
Yes, I do.
All right. I have a little thing here, 24 inches. So 2 feet, 24 inches?
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know if I can approach or if I have to have my...
Go ahead.
Thank you. So when we're talking about 2 feet, say from the wound on his chest...
The indicator would be from the muzzle to the chest.
So that distance is 2 feet.
Yes.
Understanding that... Additional information that the defendant provided you, that Dr. Bumgardner advised during a defense interview, does that alter your opinion in any way as to where the shooter would have been, the general location of the shooter for this shot to his chest?
No, it actually makes sense with the completed trajectory that ended up in the baseboard.
So those being two feet away from Charles Vallow when... The end of the gun to his chest did not seem so far away that, or so close that it didn't fit in with your opinion.
Yeah, 2 to 4 feet would be certainly consistent with what I saw.
So he's 2 to 4 feet away from him in this area.
Away from that area, yes. Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the floor itself that you observed. Underneath Charles's shoulder after he was removed, okay? And putting up Exhibit 244, that's the actual piece of wood. And Your Honor, can I actually publish this to the jury and have them
Yes.
look at it? Thank you. I can have just all of them look at that and then I'll ask a couple questions. Thank you. So, Detective, in looking at the floor itself, you told us that you looked through the whole floor in that room to see if you found any similar types of defects, correct?
Correct.
Did you find other defects on the floor, just period?
There are other imperfections.
You had testified on cross that there was something about the freshness of the defect itself. Were you able to sort of feel a difference in the wood grain, where that indentation is that we see in Exhibit 59 and in the actual piece 244, than you observed in other defects across the floor?
Yes, it did appear to be different than the other imperfections or defects.
Was there anything about the defect itself that indicated a path of travel?
Yes, there is a kind of a linear mark to it, and you'll also see at the in this particular photograph that there's like a slight semicircular edge as it exits towards the towards the top right.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand-new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand-new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.